Next Sunday, May 13th, the front cover of the American Weekly magazine will feature a full-color reproduction of Edmond Dulac's famous painting, Cleopatra. Front-page dramas now offer for your enjoyment a 15-minute radio adaptation of William Shakespeare's classic, Antony and Cleopatra. This condensed version of Shakespeare's play is a production of the General Broadcasting Company. The time of our play is 41 B.C. The place of action is Alexandria. The scene is a room in Cleopatra's palace. A messenger has come from Rome, and Cleopatra tries to persuade her lover to listen to him.
Hear him, Antony. Thy wife Fulvia perchance is angry.
How, my love?
Perchance, nay, and most like. You must not stay here longer. Your dismission has come from Caesar. Therefore, hear it, Antony. Call in my messenger.
Let Rome in Tiber melt, and the wide arch of the Range Empire fall. Here is my faith.
Excellent falsehood.
Now, for the love of love and her soft hours, let's not confound the time with constant past. What thought tonight?
Hear the ambassador.
No messenger but thine. And all alone tonight, we wander through the streets and note the qualities of the people. Last night you did desire it. Come, my queen.
Antony.
True to his word, Antony spends the night in revelry, and not until the next morning does he give the Roman messenger an audience. Then, realizing the importance of his immediate return to Rome, Antony hastens to Cleopatra's apartment to bid her farewell.
Madam, here comes Antony. You may take thy leave, Charmian.
My dearest queen.
Pray you, Antonius, send you farther off.
What's the matter?
I know. By that same eye, there's some good news. What says the married woman?
Oh.
You may go. Oh, would she had never given you leave to come. Let her not say it is I that keep you here. I have no power upon you. Hers you are.
Most sweet queen.
Nay, pray you. Keep no color for your going, but bid farewell and go. When you choose Spain, then was the time for work.
Hear me, queen. I have a letter here. The strong necessity of time commands our services a while. But my full heart remains in use with you. Our Italy shines o'er with civil swords. Sextus Pompeius makes his approach to the port of Rome. And that which most of you should save my going is Fulvia's death.
Can Fulvia die?
She's dead, my queen. Look here, and if I pocket letter read, at the last death, see when and where she died.
Oh, most false love. But now I see in Fulvia's death how mine received shall be.
Quarrel no more. But be prepared to know the purposes I bear, which are no speech that you shall give advice. By the fire which quickens Nilus' slime, I go from hence thy soldier's servant, making peace or war as thou affect.
So Antony loves.
Oh, my precious queen, forbear, and give true evidence of his love which stands in honorable trial.
So fool.
Oh, you heat my blood. No more. I leave you, lady.
Courteous lord, one word. Sir, you and I must part. But that's not it. Sir, you and I have loved. But that's not it. That you know well. Something it is I would. Oh, sir, forgive me. Your honor calls you hence. Therefore be deaf to my unpitied folly, and all the gods go with you.
Let us go. Come. Our separation so abides and flies, that thou residing here goest yet with me, and I, hence fleeting, here remain with thee.
Cleopatra anxiously awaits news of the absent Antony, but receiving none, she sends her messengers to Rome. We now find her impatiently awaiting their return.
Charmian, madam, give me to drink mandragora.
Why, madam?
Oh, that I might sleep out this great gap of time my Antony is away.
You think of him, do not.
Oh, this reason.
Madam, I trust not so.
Oh, Charmian, where think thou he is now? Stands he or sits he, or does he walk? Or is he on his horse? Oh, he's speaking now. Or murmuring. Where is my serpent of old man? Or so he calls me.
Sovereign of Egypt, hail!
Thy messenger, Alexis, returns, madam.
Oh, from Italy. Ram thou thy fruitful tidings in mine ears, that long time have been barren.
Madam.
Antonius dead. If thou say so, villain, thou killst thy mistress. but well and free. If thou so yield him, there is gold. And here, my bluest vein to kiss, a hand that kings have lipped and trembles kissing.
First, madame, he is well.
And there's more gold, but Siramok, we used to say the dead are well. Bring it to that. The gold I give thee, will I melt and pour down thy illusory throat?
Good, madame, hear me.
Well, go through, I will. But there's no goodness in my face. If Antony be free and helpful, so thought a favor to trumpet such good tidings.
Will please you hear me?
I have a mind to strike the arrow thicket. Yet if thou say Antony lives, is well, or friends with Caesar, or not captive to him, I'll set thee in a shower of gold and hail rich pearls upon thee.
Madam, he's well.
Well said.
And friends with Caesar.
Not an honest man.
Caesar and he are greater friends than ever.
Make thee a fortune from me.
But yet, madam.
I do not like, but yet. It does allay the good proceedings. Prithee, friend, pour out the pack of matter to mine ear, the good and bad together. Be friends with Caesar. In state of health, thou sayest, and thou sayest free.
Free, madam? No, I need no such report. He's bound unto Octavia.
Oh, I am killed. Stop me.
Madam, he's married to Octavia.
The most infectious petulance upon thee.
Good madam, patience.
Get thee hence.
Madam, that I will know.
Antony married. Oh, stop me. I think. Leave me to my chains.
Antony had married Octavia as a means of reconciliation to her brother, Octavius Caesar. Octavia tried to be a peacemaker, but with short-lived success. Before long, Antony is again in Egypt and oblivious to everything except his infatuation for Cleopatra. Soon the triumvirate falls to pieces. Octavius Caesar openly claims the empire. Antony joins issues with him, and again there is a clash of civil war. Contrary to advice, Antony insists upon forcing a naval attack. The Battle of Actium is fought. At the crisis of the engagement, Cleopatra, with a contingent of 60 ships, is seized with hysterical fear because of bad news, which she considers to be a dreadful omen, and she sails for Egypt, followed by Antony in his flagship. We now find Antony joining Cleopatra at her palace at Alexandria.
Oh, whither hast thou led me, Egypt?
The Lord, forgive my fearful sails. I little thought you would have followed.
Egypt, thou knewest too well my heart as to I rather tied by the strings than thou shouldst throw me after.
My pardon.
Now I must to the young man send humble treaties, guards, and powers that are in the ships alone. You did not know how much you were my conqueror, and that my sword, made weak by my affection, would obey it on all cause.
Pardon, pardon.
Nay, fall not a tear, I say. One of them rapes all that is in one alone. No. Give me a kiss. Even this repays me.
Oh, my
Caesar sits down in Alexandria, where I will oppose his fate. Our ports by land have nobly held. Our severed navy, too, have knit again and fleet threatening most sea-like. Where hast thou been, my heart? Dost thou fear, lady? If from the field I shall return once more to kiss these lips, I will appear in blood. I and my sword will earn our chronicle. There's hope in yet.
Oh, that's my brave lord.
I will be trouble-sinewed, hearted, greed, and fight maliciously. For when mine hours were nice and lucky, men did ransom lives of me for jest. But now I set my teeth on scent of darkness all that stop me. Come, let's have one more gory night. Let's mock the midnight bell.
My lord is Antony again. I will be Cleopatra.
Ah.
Antony is later defeated by Caesar. Cleopatra goes to comfort Antony and is reviled by him. He sends a messenger back to his camp with a message that she has killed herself and instructs him to bring her a report how Antony takes her death. Upon hearing the news, Antony tries to get his guards to kill him, and when they refuse, falls upon his own sword and mortally wounds himself. Then he has his soldiers carry him to the monument where he expects to find Cleopatra's body. Meanwhile, Cleopatra and Charmian are at the monument awaiting him. Charmian carries a basket with a viper concealed in it.
Charmian, hast thou the pretty worm of Nilus there, that kills and pains not, madam? Thou art going to let his sharp-tongued viper sting me? Only and the noble Antony shall die from his wounding self-inflicted. Or should the Lord depart this night, the light of all the world shall be extinct. Madam, thy Antony arrives. Oh, no. Is he dead? His death appears upon him. Look out the other side of the monument.
Oh,
Anthony! Anthony!
Peace. Not Caesar's valor hath o'erthrown Antony, but Antony's hath triumphed on itself.
So it should be that none but Antony should conquer Antony. But woe, this book.
I am dying, Egypt. Dying. Only here I importune death awhile, until of many thousand kisses, the poor last I lay upon my lips.
Welcome, welcome. Die where thou hast lived. Quicken the kissing. Had my lips that power, thus would I wear them up.
One word, sweet queen. Of Caesar, speak your honor with your safety.
If serpents have their stings, I am safe.
Gentle, hear me. The miserable chains now at my end lament no sorrow at. But please your thoughts. In feeding them with those my former fortunes wherein I lived the greatest prince of the world, the noblest. And now do not basely die,
nor cowardly put off my helmet to my countrymen. A Roman, by a Roman, valiantly vanquished. Now my spirit is going.
My Lord. Oh, see. Tell me. Crown of earth doth make madam. Give me the robe. Put on the crown. I have immortal longings in me. Husband, I come. Now to that name. My courage proves my title. So, have you done it? Come then, show me. And take the last warmth of my sweetest kiss. I bid thee farewell, madam. Farewell, kind son. Oh, eastern star, whatever. The thought, have I reacted in my lips? Is thou in nature can so gently part? The stroke of death is as a lover's kiss, which hurts and is desired. Come now, pretty worm of malice, with thy sharp teeth this not insensitive of life, at once unite. Oh, venomous fool, be angry and as such. As sweet as fawn, as soft as earth, as gentle.
Would you like to see what this famous tyrant of the Nile looked like? Then be sure to get your copy of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly Magazine, the cover of which will be a beautiful color reproduction of Edmond Dulac's painting of his conception of the beautiful Queen Cleopatra. This is the third in a series of historical pictures entitled Follies That Destroyed Famous Queens. This is Wentworth announcing. Your own announcer will now give you further details of the many other interesting stories and articles appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast.